The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, Shavua Tov, how are you?
Boker Tov, Shavua Tov. So much to talk about today. The news has just been piling up over the weekend. First, some good sporting news, because I do like to rub it in a little, Howard, should we say, when it comes to good sporting news.
You haven't let this go, hey? Wow.
Yeah, no. Lots of good sporting news. This time it's Artem Dolgopiat, who is Israel's gold medalist in the gymnastics floor exercise from the Tokyo Olympics. This time he has won a gold medal at the European Championships in Munich. So he's really, really doing well. He's an interesting person, Artem Dolgopiat. He is a Ukrainian by birth. Immigrated to Israel at the age of 12 years old. He struggled when he first came to Israel with language difficulties. He didn't do very well at school, but he's found his niche on the gymnastics floor, in particular doing the floor exercise. He also does vaulting and a few other of the gymnastics categories, but floor is by far his strength. And it's interesting that his mother is not Jewish, but his father was entitled to come to Israel and to take up citizenship under the law of return because his father has Jewish ancestry. And it's a great example of how the law of return works. Another little surprising piece of news from yesterday is that there was a cloudburst in the north of Israel. And in the middle of August, when it rains in Israel, then it's newsworthy because it's very, very unusual for us to get rain at this time of year. I can safely tell you that in the central part of Israel, we haven't had rain since May, I think. Literally, not a drop. And we're not expecting any rain probably until the beginning of October. But yesterday in the north, a cloudburst, a downpour of rain caught everybody by surprise. So a lot of happy people in the north of Israel yesterday. And, of course, we are warming up for the beginning of the school year, which is at the end of next week, the 1st of September. And already talks of strikes and talks of issues about going back to school. This year we have a month of September, which is almost free of Chagim, Rosh Hashanah, only towards the end of September. So there's a whole month of school, uninterrupted schooling, that Jewish, that Israeli school children can take up on when they go back to school at the end of next week. But it seems as if the teachers are not necessarily going to allow that to happen, with lots of talk of strikes. I'd like to talk in a bit more detail about the Israeli schooling system, what my views are. We'll talk about that hopefully during the week ahead of the beginning of the school year, or perhaps next week and before the children go back to school. But certainly lots and lots of issues in Israel's education system. And one last little snippet which also caught my attention is the fact that there was a strike yesterday by Palestinian workers who come to Israel to work every day, because an agreement has been reached between the Israeli government and the Palestinian Authority that their salaries will be paid into bank accounts starting very, very soon, as opposed to being paid cash in hand. Israel has got very, very stringent rules now, as we already discussed a few weeks ago, about cash transactions, and there's been a major crackdown on cash in hand transactions of any type. And you would be struggling to find Israeli workers who receive cash in hand for the work that they do, unless, of course, there's some ulterior motive. And, of course, this is the attempt to crack down on the avoidance of taxes, the avoidance of payment of other social security benefits and things like that. And, of course, the Palestinian workers have decided that they don't particularly like this. They view this as a threat, because they think that there will be hidden taxes or hidden charges involved in depositing their salaries into banks. And there was a protest yesterday by those Palestinian workers who work in Israel against the payment of their salaries into bank accounts. It may surprise some people to learn that over 200,000 Palestinians cross every day from the Palestinian Authority area into Israel to work. 200,000 people every day. And these are the people who feel that they are going to be disadvantaged now by the payment of their salaries into bank accounts. Apparently, there will be some bank charges involved, $1 for each transfer. But of course, more importantly, whatever taxes are due will be deducted. And of course, Israel has an arrangement with the Palestinian Authority to pay over whatever taxes are relevant to the Palestinian Authority from the people who work here. So, yeah, an interesting little dilemma that went down yesterday with that progress.
I also, in a way, love the fact that there was a strike, because it just shows that there is just a process, a democratic process. People have the right to do, and it just goes against the whole narrative that everybody else, you know, loves to believe. So I think that's amazing, just in some way. The head of Israel's Shin Bet, a security organization, traveled to Egypt yesterday in order to settle the tension that has arisen between Israel and Egypt after Operation Breaking Dawn. So what is the actual source of the tension here?
So this is a story about Ronen Bar, who is the head of the Shin Bet. The Shin Bet, Shin and Bet, are two letters in the Hebrew alphabet, Shin Bet, and they stand for Sherut Bitachon, the security service. Some people also know the organization as the Shabak. It's the same organization, the Shin Bet, the Shabak, the Sherut Bitachon Klali. Shabak is also a three-letter acronym, Shin Bet Kaf, which is Sherut Bitachon Klali. And that is Israel's internal security organization, which is also responsible for security along the borders. So it covers the Palestinian Authority area as well, and also the relationship with Egypt. It's a little bit like the split between the Mossad and the Shabak is a little bit like the MI5, MI6 split. For those people who know how the British system works, the Mossad responsible for security outside of Israel, Shabak responsible for security within Israel, and also extends around the borders. Mm. Ronen Bar is named nowadays as the head of the Shabak, and he was the one who traveled yesterday to Egypt to meet with the Egyptian intelligence chief Abbas Kamel. Now, these tensions arise or have arisen because apparently Egypt sees that Israel, considers that Israel has actually transgressed some of the understandings that were reached at the end of Operation Breaking Dawn. And of course, it was Egypt, and particularly Abbas Kamel, as the head of the Egyptian intelligence and security organization. He was the one responsible for negotiating the agreement between the Palestinian Islamic Jihad in Gaza and also involving Hamas, because even though Hamas stood back from that particular conflict, when it came time to negotiate the ceasefire, then Hamas would have been involved to some degree. And they, the Egyptians, were the ones who were the peacemakers, who were the interlocutors in terms of a process between Palestinian Islamic Jihad and Israel. And the problem that the Egyptians had is the fact that there was this operation carried out last week in the Palestinian area, in the Judean Samaria area, against Palestinian Islamic Jihad operatives there. And that was considered to have been a transgression of the agreement that was reached at the end of Operation Breaking Dawn. You will remember that I spoke about this operation last week where there were people killed when the IDF troops went into Nablus in order to arrest people, and they were set upon by the people who were in that house, and it ended up with, I think, three people being killed in the process, one of whom was a known operative from Palestinian Islamic Jihad. Now, Abbas Kamel was due to have come to visit Israel last week, and he cancelled his visit at the last minute, saying that there was a transgression of the agreement, and it led to a little bit of a tiff between Israel and Egypt, which seemed to escalate over the last few days enough for Ronen Bar to consider it appropriate for him, as the head of the Shabak organization, to travel to Egypt, which he did yesterday. And the hope is that he will have managed to settle the tensions that were arising between Israel and Egypt. And it's not clear whether he may even have been offering a little peace offering in order to show some goodwill. The official organizations, the government and the official security organizations in Israel, are not commenting at all about the visit that took place yesterday, but it is being widely reported in most of the Israeli press. So we don't really have any official view as to what went down, what agreements might have been reached, and whether Ronen Bar would have been successful in convincing Abbas Kamel that Israel is serious about maintaining that ceasefire that was reached with Palestinian Islamic Jihad. But I presume that the coming days will be telling in terms of what might happen next. But, you know, as a related story to this, there are two Palestinian Islamic Jihad prisoners being held in Israeli prison, one of whom has been on a hunger strike already for some time. The other one was, of course, arrested just before Operation Breaking Dawn. Israel's courts have been active in the case of both of those individuals. In the case of the one who's been on the hunger strike, there was an application to release him from administrative detention. That application was not actually upheld by the Supreme Court, even though Israel has agreed, at least for now, to suspend the administrative detention while he's in hospital being treated for the effects of the hunger strike. So he still remains in captivity, but he's in hospital and his administrative detention, at least for now, has been suspended. In the case of the second individual, there was an application to release him from prison, but in fact, the court has extended his arrest warrant and he is currently being held in prison at the moment by Israeli authorities. And I just wonder whether Ronen Bar might have been inclined to somehow offer something as a little peace offering when he was in Egypt yesterday. I guess we will find out.
Yeah, it's and so these things just continue because it's just quite remarkable. Rumors persist about the status of the Iran nuclear deal, although it's not clear precisely where things currently stand. So we were trying to figure it out earlier as well. What is going on? What do we know?
Well, there was a huge escalation towards the end of last week with lots and lots of news organizations suggesting that we are now in the final throes of reaching an agreement, that the US and Iran have finally come to an agreement. And it seems as if what's been happening is that the US and Iran have been sitting at opposite ends of the table, with the European Union members of the agreement somehow trying to play the bridge between the two of them in order to try and get the two of them to agree. There are reports that have suggested that it is in everybody's best interest, at least those people around the table, for an agreement to be reached in one way, shape, or form. And so I suppose this was the reason why last week there was suddenly this huge escalation in the number of reports suggesting that an agreement had been reached and that it was only a matter of time. Now, it's been interesting that Israel has come out again saying we really encourage the U.S. not to come to an agreement with Iran. And it seems as if, though, the main issue on the table, the main point of disagreement between the U.S. and Iran in terms of coming to an agreement, is one which involves the Iranian Revolutionary Guard being taken off the list of terror organizations in the U.S. That's apparently what the whole thing is circling on right now. Iran being absolutely insistent that the Revolutionary Guard organization should be taken off the list of terror organizations, the U.S. saying not. There were reports last week that the U.S. was going to buckle and they were going to take the Revolutionary Guard off the list, and that was how the agreement was going to be reached. This week, however, things seem to be a little bit different, and it's been interesting that the U.S. administration, in particular, the U.S. ambassador to Israel, Tom Nides, has said, you know, that the U.S. will not give up on Israel's security. Of course, Israel being very active to try and encourage the U.S. not to reach any agreement. Here's the little irony, though. The little irony is that within the discussion, apparently, one of the concerns is that if an agreement is not reached, it may cause an escalation in regional conflict, and it may encourage Israel to carry out an attack of some sort against Iran. That's apparently why at least those people sitting in the room feel that an agreement has to be reached. Now, the Israeli government is sending a message saying if an agreement is reached, that is what potentially could cause Israel to react, because that's not in the best interests of Israel or anybody else in the region. So there seems to be a little disconnect between the discussions that are being held within that negotiating room and the things that are actually happening outside the negotiating room. I have no idea to what extent Israel may or may not have any influence or be able to send messages into the negotiating teams, but there seems to be that disconnect because they feel that if an agreement is not reached, that will somehow create a huge escalation in regional conflict. I have no idea really how to interpret any of that, but it just seems like there is this disconnect at the moment.
There really does. And I just wonder how Israel is going to react. Yeah. Certainly, they haven't created any illusion that they're going to just sit back and accept whatever agreement is accepted. So,
I mean, to be honest with you, I don't know whether the lack of agreement will necessarily make things any better or worse, because I just wonder whether Israel is encouraging the U.S. not to reach an agreement, A, obviously in order not to allow the flow of economic funds into Iran, because the moment those sanctions are lifted, there will be a huge inflow of economy, of money, of foreign currency into Iran, which Israel is obviously trying to avoid. But I think also, once the U.S. has reached an agreement with Iran, Israel might find that its hands are somewhat tied because the U.S. will try somehow to impose upon Israel whatever it's agreed with Iran in order not to break the agreement again. Mm. So Israel might feel that its hands are going to be tied up by any agreement and that they would be much freer to operate if there was no agreement. Mm,
absolutely, Anthony Reich. That's all we have time for today. That's where we leave it. Thank you as always. We'll catch you tomorrow morning at 7:45. It is 8 o'clock. I'm Howard Feldman. Good morning.